Today we remember St. Peter in particular the veneration of his chains with which he was bound. And the gospel message we have kind of alludes to that, really about his death, but the text is Jesus tells Peter that there's going to come a time in his life when he's not free to go wherever he wants, do wherever he wants. Somebody's going to bind him and take him where he doesn't want to go. This is from the very end of the Gospel of St. John. This text is so beautifully expresses our Lord's just relentless love for us. And he endures with us and is patient with us. You know, we know Peter very well. He may be most prominently recorded for us in the Gospels. And so we have all of these cases and situations where he does something marvelous followed by something foolish. You know, he's the one who says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then immediately he says, "Oh no, we're not going to let you go to Jerusalem and be crucified. That's not what the Messiah does." So he's chastised. "Get behind me, Satan." He's the one who says, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water." And he walks on the water. It's amazing. But then he looks at the storm and sings. He's the one who says, "Lord, I'll die for you." And Jesus says, "Well, you're going to deny me three times tonight." Peter can't imagine, but he goes out and denies him. But in each of these cases, our Lord just keeps coming back to St. Peter. And this gospel text that we have today is understood by the fathers as really our Lord coming to Peter to heal him three times, saying, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because Peter denied the Lord three times. And this was his healing. This was his affirmation. Of course, Peter was frustrated being asked three times the same question, close to the same question. Yet this is what he needed for his soul, and even if at that particular moment maybe it was hard for him to receive, it was our Lord was planting the seeds in him that would grow in a balm that would heal the wounds from Peter's own sin, from his own denial of the Lord. And then even then, immediately, after Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die, Peter turns around and looks and says, "Well, what about him? I'm more concerned about other people. If I'm going to die a harsh death, then how about this other person?" And Peter and our Lord redirects him again. "Well, don't worry about him. Have his own plan for him. He can live forever if that's what God wants. But you just follow me. That's your response." So it's really this absolutely relentless love, and we should be able to relate to Peter because we fall a lot. We do something good, we make a good step forward, a good intention, a good effort, and then we crumble and fall and say an unkind word or fall into cases of just lack of self-discipline, whatever it might be. So it's good for us to remember this relentless love. God doesn't give up on us. He keeps coming back for us. It's just like he was for Peter. That's complemented, of course, on the other side by Peter's relentless willingness to let Christ come to him, to not stay away, to not run, to be responsive to our Lord coming to him and correcting him. And so we can't take the love of God, the relentless and enduring patience and mercy that God shows toward us in any way that makes us lazy or complacent or kind of content with our lives. It's just the opposite. If we truly understand God for who God is and what God's love is, what his mercy and patience with us is, then it'll be transformative in our lives. Our God's a consuming fire that burns up those thorns of sin that populate our inner life. So if we're feeling a bit complacent or lazy or comfortable with our life, then our problem is that we don't really worship the right God. We've found a God that we can sort of feel at ease with, not one who confronts us, rebukes us, corrects us. The shepherd who keeps his sheep in the flock, calls us by name, but comes and gets us and brings us back. We have to be willing to go like the prodigal son, willing to return, willing to see ourselves for who we are and know that the love of God is worth returning to. So the relentless love of God has to be united to our relentless response to that love, the complete rejection of complacency. And if we can really live this life of synergy, of our cooperation with God's love for us, then there's this beautiful promise that's given to Peter that really applies to all of us. It says that our Lord told Peter this to let him know by in what way his death was going to glorify God. Maybe we think about glorifying God by, I don't know what, preaching or talking to other people about him or doing good deeds, a kind act towards someone, acts of mercy or something like that. Going to church, singing hymns, saying our prayers, maybe these are all ways in which we glorify God. But the ultimate way that we glorify God, strangely, is with our death, because that's the way in which Christ came to save us, be united with us in our death. And to glorify God is really to let him be seen in us. So when people look at us, they see him. And if we live this life of relentless responsiveness to the relentless love of God, then really what's happening to us is he's changing and molding us and shaping us in such a way so that in our death, whatever that might be, it might be harsh and violent, like Peter's, like many of the martyrs, it might be just calm and peaceful, like we pray for in almost every service, a peaceful end to our lives. But in however it is, it will be a death that manifests Christ to the world, to those who are around us, that God has revealed in our lives, in our death, in our humility, in our becoming nothing in this world. That even like in the other gospel, the gospel for the day, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, those who humble themselves will be exalted. The most profound humbling of us is our death. And if we are able to receive that and accept that, as part of the mercy and love of God poured out into our lives so that we're not dying alone but dying with him, then that death will become the occasion for our exaltation in such a way that people see Christ in us. So Peter's a great example for us, and by his prayers may we be worthy and quick receivers of the relentless love of God and be good to respond to it. In the name of the Father, and